Hey, y'all. One thing I've learned in 16 years of being with my wife is that PMS and menopause are a very real deal. Thank goodness for hormone harmony. Hey, do you experience cravings or bloating? Do you feel a little bit down or off? Do you struggle to find comfort in your body? Do you experience bad sleep quality? Well, now it's easier to manage PMS and menopause with Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, promotes healthy weight loss, and curbs carb cravings. It improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas, and it relieves hot flashes, and it relieves mood swings. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through premenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, and Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, and occasional bloating and gas, or no desire to be intimate with someone, if you know what I mean. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar, is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, my wife says, is feeling like herself again. And that's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's HAPPYMAMMOTH.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today. Hey, y'all, you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with the subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to become curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. Look, we homeschool our son. No doubt about it. He's more of a visual learner, and we use IXL, and Cindy teaches him, and there are so many different benefits to the program. It adapts to exactly what he needs in different areas. So IXL is the perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum. IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational games, lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you are covering. IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead like our son, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. Kids love IXL's positive feedback awards and educational games. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. And don't forget Real Life Real Crime listeners get 20% off. Y'all, we really do use this product, and it's been a godsend.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life Real Crime Daily for Wednesday, October the 23rd. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Then I'm your host, Woody Overton.
And I'm Cindy Overton.
Cindy Overton, co-hosting again for Jim Chapman. And if you listen, I explained to y'all that I'm out of town this week in Alabama at a conference. So Cindy and I are not getting them out of the way, but doing these recordings, bringing you this Real Life Real Crime Daily. And Jim Chapman will be back with you on Thursday to cover it up. And then we'll be back in the studio next week. So, but it's Wednesday. And the weather is lovely compared to how it's been.
Yes.
And last Wednesday, it actually got in the 40s here, but it's only going to be in the low 80s, which is very nice. Love the fall time. Love everything about it.
I do too, except I'm bundled up like I'm in Wisconsin and the below zero temperatures right now.
You're always cold.
I am.
And I'm always hot. So the... Anyway, that's sitting, people must be sitting in the house just like, I'm cold. And I'm like, put some clothes on. They make clothes for that. Yeah.
The funny thing is I don't like long sleeves.
Yeah. Well, then don't say anything about being cold.
Right.
Right. So let's get down some true crime time for Wednesday.
Hump Day Wednesday. All right. So you always say ladies first. So I'm assuming I get to go first.
That is correct. You would be assuming correct.
All right. So let's start off in Missouri.
Missouri.
I'm assuming M.O.
is. Obie State. Yes, M.O. is Missouri.
Okay. Fulton, Missouri, to be exact.
Fulton, Missouri.
Are you gonna repeat everything I say?
Not every.
Okay.
Just myself.
A Texas man. Shot and wounded two deputies during a traffic stop before they returned fire and killed him.
Good for him.
The Callaway...
Not for shooting the cops.
For them, yeah. The Callaway County deputy initiated a traffic stop around 3:35 a.m.
And nobody out that time of night except the bad guys. They're like the really, really bad guys, drunks, and cops.
That's right.
That's what I always say.
They were on Interstate 70. The county sheriff's office said a second deputy arrived a short time later. So deputies learned that the driver, a 37-year-old man from Texas, had several felony warrants for alleged drug trafficking. And assaulting a law officer.
If I was a drug trafficker, I'd be driving.
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
And I'd stop every 2 fucking miles to make sure my blinkers were working and my taillights weren't out. And I'm driving like 1 mile an hour over the speed limit. And this motherfucker is 3:40 in the morning rolling.
A short time later, deputies notified dispatchers that the man was resisting arrest. And then they reported shots fired. So the driver shot the deputies who returned fire and shot him, said Curtis Hall, the county's chief deputy. The driver was pronounced dead at the scene. Both deputies, thank goodness, are in stable condition. And authorities haven't released the names of anyone involved. But the Missouri State Highway Patrol Division of Drug and Crime Control will investigate the shooting.
So the cops are alive.
Yes.
The bad guys.
And that's the way it should be.
Sure, that's the way it should
be. I'm sorry they were shot and all that, but...
Whiskey from a man, beer from a horse. Yeah, I mean, but you know what? They knew that. They know that when you get out on anybody, any vehicle you stop could be the one that shoots at you. And they understood that when they put on the badge and they kind of go to work every day. You don't think about it consciously, like, this is the day I'm going to have to kill someone or someone's going to shoot me, but it happens every day. So I'm glad they're alive and recovering, and Missouri doesn't have to spend any taxpayer dollars other than an investigation on this guy. And it'll come out probably, doping the car, I'm sure. So And he's a convicted felon, or you said he had multiple.
Mm-hmm.
Why has he got a gun?
Right.
Yeah. There's laws for that. And guns don't kill people. People kill people. Right? People with guns kill people. So, y'all, let me tell you about a high school football star who is a hero. Okay? And he died a hero. And it's my hero. Well, police said a 22-year-old man and a 42-year-old woman were injured in an incident and taken to a hospital. An 18-year-old high school student who was killed in a shooting at a Harvest homecoming event in Indiana has been remembered as the hero. Now, the New Albany Police Department, y'all, that's not New York, that's Indiana. Their chief, Todd Bailey, said in a press conference that Bryce Gerlach had been killed after gunshots were fired at the event at around 9:50 p.m. on Saturday, October 12th. Now, Bailey, police chief, noted that Gerlach and two other people, a 22-year-old man and a 42-year-old woman, who were injured in the incident and not identified by police, he says they were all innocent bystanders who had been shot at the event. Gerlach was pronounced dead at the scene, while the two others transported to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. She says that through their preliminary investigation, it was believed that at least two groups of individuals were involved in a dispute that led to the shots fired, and that investigators had identified several persons of interest in the shooting. However, police did not say whether anyone was apprehended. Now, several of Gerlach's classmates from Corydon Central High School said that they believe he had died a hero, trying to shield other people in his group from bullets after the shooting began. Quote, it was very selfless what he did. That's from Gerlach's friend Tanner Chumley. And I'm thankful he went out in such a heroic way, so that's how people remember him, because that's what he was. He was a hero. And Gerlach was identified as a varsity football player on the school's team. Head football coach Luke Keller told the Louisville Courier-Journal that Gerlach always jumped in the front of the line to take on that leadership role. Now, the team is scheduled to play in a Friday night game against Silver Creek, where students are encouraged to wear blue, the varsity football player's favorite color, in remembrance of them. That's just crazy.
That is
sad. In a separate post, the athletics team said, "Our hearts are incredibly heavy following the news of the 18-year-old's death. There are not enough words to describe the condolences we extend to his family and friends." And, you know, the mayor offered his condolences and says, "Gun violence at a family festival is heartbreaking and tragic. Our country must find a way to come together to stop this type of violence." And I motherfucking agree. This is fucking Indiana somewhere, some country town. And
yeah.
You know, fuck, what happened to going fisticuffs?
I don't know.
They're just going to shoot it. And look, we're not just shooting you. We're shooting every motherfucker because we're trained professionals, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we doing that TV shit, holding the gun every head, running backwards, and you don't know where the bullets are going. You can't get them back.
No.
And he's dead. Kid.
Sad.
Yeah. Stupid.
It really is.
I hope they get him and I hope they fry their ass.
I do too. Well, do you want to go across the pond to France?
Sure. No, not really.
I know.
Unless we're going to the beaches of Normandy.
Yeah, well, we aren't. But the body of a French teenager who went missing 13 months ago has been found after a long police search halfway across the country from where she was last seen, authorities announced. Police had been searching for the 15-year-old, referred to only as Lena in the French media, since her mysterious disappearance on September 23rd of last year. They had amassed thousands of reports, conducted hundreds of interviews, and analyzed hundreds of vehicles. But GPS data extracted from the presumed killer's car that led to her discovery on Wednesday in a wooded area in the central French Navire region, some 310 miles from where she went missing in Alsace in the country's east. So DNA testing enabled the body to be identified as Alexandra Chevier, and the teenager's smartphone tracking signal was lost at 11:22 a.m. on September 23rd of last year as she was walking on a small road towards the station of St. Blaise-la-Roche, a hamlet of barely 250 inhabitants, to catch a train to Strasbourg, where she was to meet up with her boyfriend. A week later, police opened a probe into the suspected kidnapping. And after months of fruitless investigation, police identified a car, a Ford Puma, that was known to have been seen in the vicinity when Lena went missing. The vehicle was used by the main suspect in the case, Samuel Gonin, who died by suicide in July before he could be questioned. He left a farewell letter, and he says, "I have lost my honor, my dignity, my humanity. I must leave. I do not know how to control myself. It is going too fast." So analysis of his car's geolocation data allowed police to identify several spots it had made, including the one made a day after Lena's disappearance, which eventually led to the discovery of her body. So she was eventually found submerged in a stream below an embankment, and the postmortem examinations, including an autopsy, obviously will determine the cause of death. And even if the body may be very degraded, it will provide a certain number of answers, and they're just glad that she has been located.
Well, at least her body comes home. Just because his car was in the vicinity doesn't mean he did it. And he offed himself that hopefully it was him, and there's not another killer running around France.
Right.
Right? And so shit happens everywhere, y'all. I think things get reported on more in the United States because of all the social media and all that shit. I don't really believe there is any more crime other than like these asshole school shootings and stuff like that. But I don't believe there's any more murders now than there was 20 years ago when I was doing it. I just think it's more widely reported. So let's come back to Sterlington, Louisiana. And I always get it wrong, but you know, I fuck up a lot of names, and I should not fuck this one up because I've done stories that, including Jessica Chambers' case, ended up in this parish. You know which one it is? Wichita? How you say it?
Oh, yeah, isn't it Wichita? Wichita?
Somebody, lifers up there will love you. Anyway, y'all, I can tell you in my mind's eye exactly where it's at. It's if you're looking at the map of the state of Louisiana, it's the top right and eastern corner, okay? And anyway, the sheriff's office launched an investigation after receiving a complaint that this 32-year-old dude, Roger D. Stripling Jr., was alleged to be in possession of child pornography, right? So authorities, then they go out, they find this old boy, and asked him, say, "Hey, can we see your cell phone?" And he said, "Yup." Well, deputies were afraid what they might find on it, said, rightfully so, they got a search warrant and got his phone. And see, you know, sees it and had the forensic examination done. And guess what? According to the deputies, they found more than 250 photographs of pornography involving juveniles. And wait for it, and more than 160 photographs of sexual abuse of animals in his phone, right? I mean, that's the only thing they just see, fucking lower than unless you murder the child, just throwing 106 counts of bestiality. I guess that's what you call it. But authorities then learn that the juveniles in the pictures range from, this is fucked up, from a few months old to approximately 13 years old. And according to the authorities, the photos were of the children unclothed and being sexually assaulted. So they're being raped, right, on photos. Deputies also learned that the photographs of the animals were of dogs and cats performing sexual acts with humans. Yes. Can't make it up. So this douchebag was arrested on October the 15th of 2024 and charged with, like I told you, 250 counts of pornography involving juveniles and 160 counts of sexual abuse animal. His bond is at $330,000. And the good old boys and girls up there in Wichita, or Wichita, however you say it, I've driven through there a million times. I've actually been to the sheriff's office. Give this motherfucker some inmate justice. I mean, come on, man, y'all. So when they say 250 counts, that's 250 different images.
Yeah.
Now, it could be the same kid, but more likely it's not. And that's 250 images of kids from a few months old. That's like as old as a Randolph. A few months old. To 13 years old, having things done to them sexually, which is penetration, no matter what. And then the animals on top of that. I mean, but if it came down to it, I'd rather have the animals than the kids, but fuck him. And the sad thing about this is, it's not sad. You know, it is sad. This dude didn't do the rape. These fuckers get online on the dark net and they trade pics, right?
Right. That's what I was thinking.
And they trade pics. So somebody else somewhere in the world, these little babies are getting raped and these dogs and cats are getting raped. And these fuckers are taking pictures of it and trade.
Yeah.
Whether they're buying, you know, selling it or whatever.
Right.
Fuck all them. And you know what? Hell is hot.
And evil exists, as you always say.
That is so true. May need to name a segment after that.
Yes. Evil exists.
Hey, Marie, if you're listening, that evil exists, right?
Yes, it does exist.
By the way, Leah Marie sent me this story.
We're going to go to Georgia.
Georgia?
Georgia.
Which part?
I don't really know.
All right. Proceed.
I should know.
Proceed.
So Colin Gray, the father of the teenager accused of killing four people at a Georgia high school, knew his son's deteriorating mental state and his fascination with campus shootings, investigators testified on Wednesday during a hearing that elicited troubling new details of what led up to the rampage.
Right.
So the father was aware of what?
Yes.
I know you heard me there. I know you did, but.
Yeah, hold on. Let's listen.
Chilling details were revealed at a preliminary hearing for Colin Gray about what was found in the Gray home on September 4th, the day of the Appalachie High School shooting, including a notebook containing drawings of Colt Gray depicting stick figures with wounds. Shoot the teacher first was written next on the images.
Nice.
Prosecutors called investigators to the stand in Barrow County courtroom to buttress their contention the father bought his son the weapon used in the shooting as a Christmas gift and continued to buy accessories, a tactical vest, and ammunition, despite knowing his volatile son was dealing with anger and anxiety.
He keeps I guess he's placating him with bulletproof vests and rounds, right?
Yeah. Investigators painted a picture of a home where clues pointing to potential violence were overlooked or not sufficiently addressed. Georgia Bureau of Investigation Special Agent Kelsey Ward said Colt made a shrine of school shootings, including at least one photo of the Parkland, Florida shooter.
Yeah.
And
probably don't say their names because it causes people like this to fixate on.
And a note found in a gaming room said, "Forgive me, I am out of control. See you." Ultimately, a magistrate judge ruled there was enough probable cause for Colin Gray, who was shackled and wearing an orange and white jail jumpsuit, to stand trial for the charges against him. 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter, 2 counts of second-degree murder, and 8 counts of cruelty to children. The case marks just the second time in America a parent has been charged in connection with a mass shooting by a minor. Colin Gray's attorneys did not want to comment. They called no witnesses in the hearing and did not question the investigators about statements, indicating Colin Gray did file a school form asking for help for Colt. So, meanwhile, the 14-year-old will be tried as an adult, and he faces 4 counts of felony murder. And he told investigators, "I did it," while being questioned. So,
evidently he did. And we've had cases recently where the parents ended up getting indicted for different charges after the fact, you know, like they should have known or whatever. And I don't know, man, I rode to school every day. I always had firearms, shotguns and rifles in the back seat of the party wagon. Whether I was going hunting after school or before school or whatever. And nowadays.
Hey, y'all, let me tell you about Mochi. Mochi is a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking medication-based weight loss treatment with board-certified doctors and dietitians to help them determine the best treatment options to accomplish that goal. Mochi's program is completely virtual, meaning you can access their services anywhere in the United States and you will be meeting with their team online. You deserve doctors that listen. Mochi is dedicated to providing holistic, patient-centered care that prioritizes overall well-being with the goal of transforming how weight management is approached. Mochi Health takes a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visit with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and medications delivered to your door. Science-backed medications including GLP-1s like Ozempic and generic compound versions, affordable and accessible, regardless of insurance coverage. With Mochi, their dietitians work hand-in-hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle. Reach your weight loss goals with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications and support from real doctors and guidance from registered dietitians and help with making easy and sustainable changes to achieve results. Y'all have seen this. My wife has done it. My brother-in-law has done it. One of my best friends is doing it, and it really is an amazing process that works. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off. That's join, joinmochi.com, and use code RLRC to receive $40 off and let Mochi help change your life. Hey, y'all, let me tell you about Gobble. All Gobble meal kits are pre-prepped. That means less work for you and less waste in your kitchen. Their meal kits include everything you need so you can save time at the store or just skip that trip entirely. I got the box in and I had 3 different meals. I had a Kung Pao chicken, crispy fish tacos, and a beef bourguignon, however you say it. But let me tell you about the classic beef bourguignon. Look, it came with beef pot roast and a beef broth concentrate, red wine demi-glace, cremini mushrooms, cipollone onions, mashed potatoes, baby carrots, and rosemary thyme butter. It was so easy to make. Literally like 15 minutes it took Cindy. And let me tell you something, all the dishes were fire, but this thing was like a taste explosion in my mouth. It's just unreal. We got to spend more time together and more time doing the things we love because everything came in this one single box right to my door. So see what a difference Gaba will make for your household. Right now, they're offering my listeners a fantastic limited time deal. You get $120 off across four boxes, plus free shipping and free cookies. And let me tell you, those cookies, I ate one that was sin-baked, and it was delicious. Go to gobble.com/real life. That's gobble.com/real life for $120 off your first four boxes. This offer is not available on the home site, so don't miss out. This is genius. It's taste explosions in your mouth like you never had.
You know, it's just sad, really is tragic, sad what the world's come to.
Well, they say that Colin Gray filled out and submitted a form for school counseling.
So I heard it in.
But I wanted to complete that thought. He did not show up and he didn't make his son go to further counseling sessions. It was just like going through the motions.
He got a fucking negligent homicide charge, and as he probably should. He also bought him all that shit. I mean, what kid needs bulletproof vests and power meter rounds, ammunition, et cetera, right?
Right.
So he's got something to answer for. And I'm sure he feels horrible, but not as bad as the victims. And their families. So, I don't know, man. But, well, here we go. You ready? You ready? And a lady named Mirza Lopez, she's 38 years old, has been charged with arson with intent to damage habitat. Okay? This is according to arrest records. She's from Texas, and she was arrested after confessing to setting fire to a house. Not that big of a deal, right? But it became a bigger deal than that fire killed a man. Big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes an even bigger deal because it killed a man and his three dogs as the flames spread throughout a mobile home park. All right, the arson suspect been identified by officials as 38-year-old Mirza Lopez. That's according to the Dallas Fire Rescue Department. Jail records show Lopez has been charged with arson with intent to damage habitat. It's unclear if she's entered a plea or retained an attorney, etc. Firefighters responded to a report of a fire at a mobile home park in northwest Dallas at about 6:30 a.m. on Saturday, October 12th. They said they found flames coming from the back of one of the homes and two vehicles. Now, according to an arrest warrant affidavit, Lopez is accused of starting the fire at the home of one of the residents with whom she was in a relationship. Lopez claimed that she was upset he wouldn't let her inside to use the bathroom. This is an arrest warrant. She confesses to this. So the homeowner, who was identified by authorities as Gary Fisher, said after denying Lopez entry into his home, he heard a loud noise and went out to see a fire. I saw a fire coming in the top of the window, and smoke filling the room quick. I could hardly breathe. And additionally, witnesses reported seeing Lopez sitting in a chair outside the burning mobile home. Right? She's going to watch what she had to do. Don't let me come in and poo, right? Fire officials said in their statement that the flames were so intense that it led to a second alarm response. And y'all, that means a lot more fire trucks. With additional units being called to the scene, the fire spread to at least four mobile homes and four vehicles. The Dallas Fire Rescue Department also said a man was found unresponsive inside one of the homes. He was treated at the scene and taken to the hospital, where he was later pronounced dead. Three dogs also burnt up in the fire. Now, firefighters worked, do what they do. They worked to put out the flames for over 2 hours before putting it out and declaring it extinguished at 8:40 a.m. Officials said the American Red Cross was contacted to assist at least 11 people. I don't think people know about that. The American Red Cross, if you should burn down, they'll come out and give you like temporary housing and clothing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And a pretty great organization. But according to the affidavit, Lopez admitted to investigators that she started the fire by using a lighter to ignite a plastic bag. She also claimed, per the affidavit, that she did not try to extinguish the fire. And one guy told NBC5 of Dallas that his home was damaged in the fire, but the loss of his two dogs upset him the most. So that means it's two separate homes. Well, I mean, there's another dog dead in another house, right?
Yeah.
He says, they weren't there at the door, he told the station. I expected both of them to be right there. Well, they were right there. They were burned up.
They're probably
trying. This fucking bitch couldn't get. We wants to get her ex's house to. I'm pretty sure she's in the pot.
I'm pretty sure
she wanted to go in there and call some shit.
Yes.
He's like, no, you fucking crazy as fuck. Stay out of my house. Get away. Go away. I'm like, okay. Then I'm gonna burn your shit down.
Yeah.
What is it? Three little pigs. I'm gonna huff and puff and I'll blow your shit down.
Yeah. Right?
And then I'm gonna sit here and watch it.
Yeah.
And then catch the whole fucking trailer park on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't make this shit.
No, you can't. Oh, because she supposedly needed to go potty.
Yeah, killed three dogs, burned vehicles in three homes, and we're going to give her, you know, I guess, so Tejas will give her a permanent home.
Yeah.
Inside a cell, right?
How much time do you think she'll do for that?
Probably a lot. The dude's dead.
And
I mean, the dogs, too. But
yeah.
They're not going to be as serious as a murder in Texas. I mean, you did it. She'll probably lay out to 50 or 60 years.
Man's dead and destruction of property. Does that count for anything?
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah.
Fucking, you know, guy dying, the dog's dying, the home's burning up, the fucking car's burning up. Each one of those is an independent charge. It's not like it's a blanket charge for all of them.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they'll offer a sweet 50 or 60 years and she'll die in prison. Fuck her.
Right. Well,
people like her give trailer parks. I mean, I know some of the best people in the world that live in mobile home parks, right?
Absolutely.
And some of the nicest mobile home parks in the world. And this bitch is going to go out there and say, what the fuck you set a trailer on fire with a place about?
Because you have to go to the bathroom. Like, there's
no, it said how.
Oh, how.
I mean, plastic bags melt.
Well.
Yeah. She's full of shit.
Yeah.
Literally, it probably was. Maybe one letter in.
Okay, so I know you love LOPA.
LOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency.
Yes, and the Kentucky version of LOPA is getting some heat.
Uh-oh.
And I reluctantly share this story because I don't want to put any type of negative, like you said, with the suicide copycats or whatever, I don't want to put any type of negative whatever towards LOPA, because you always say that they, you know, procure the organs in a safe way and they don't take on.
There's only one way to take them.
Right.
You got to be in one condition. They can't take it after you're dead and they can't kill you to take it.
Well, that's where there's a problem in Kentucky.
Tell me.
So Natasha Miller says she was getting ready to do her job preserving donated organs for transplantation when the nurses wheeled the donor into the operating room. She quickly realized something wasn't right. Though the donor had been declared dead, he seemed to be very much alive. He was moving around, kind of thrashing, like moving, thrashing around the bed, Miller said in an interview. And then when we went over there You could see he had tears coming down. He was visibly crying. The donor's condition alarmed everyone in the operating room at Baptist Health Hospital in Richmond, Kentucky, including the two doctors who refused to participate in the organ retrieval, she says. The procuring surgeon was like, I'm out of it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. It was very chaotic. Everyone was just very upset. Miller says she overheard the case coordinator at the hospital for her employer, which is the Kentucky Organ Donor Affiliates, which they call CODA, call her supervisor for advice. So the coordinator calls the supervisor at the time, and she was saying that he was telling her that she needed to find another doctor to do it. We were going to do this case. She needs to find someone else. And Miller says, she's like, there's no one else. Everyone else is out. No one, because everybody's, you know, saying they're not going to do this. And then she's getting yelled at. The organ retrieval was canceled, but some CODA workers say they later quit over the 2021 incident, including another preservationist, Nicolota Martin. I've dedicated my entire life to organ donation and transplant. It's very scary to me now that these things are allowed to happen and there's not more in place to protect donors, says Martin. Martin was not assigned to the operating room that day, but she says she thought she might get drafted. So she started to review case notes from earlier in the day, and she became alarmed when she read that the donor showed signs of life when doctors tried to examine his heart. The donor had woken up during his procedure that morning for a cardiac catheterization, and he was thrashing around the table, and the cardiac catheterization was performed on the potential organ donors to evaluate whether the heart was healthy enough for the new person to get the heart. And they say that the doctors sedated the patient, plans to recover his organs proceeded. So CODA officials downplayed the incident afterwards, according to Martin, and she was dismayed at that. That's everybody's worst nightmare, right? Being alive during surgery and knowing that someone is going to cut you open and take your body parts out. That's horrifying. So the story goes on to explain there's other instances of this happening. And it reminded me of the woman, the older woman that you talked about on the Daily Show that they thought was gone in a home and, you know, just...
Come on, I want to hear the rest of this.
Okay.
And is this like a civil lawsuit? Why are we just hearing about it now, 3 years later?
So I didn't really think you would want to hear about it. So Donna Rohrer of Richmond, Kentucky, said that her 36-year-old brother, T.J. Hoover II, was the patient involved in the case. He was rushed to the hospital because of a drug overdose. Rohrer was at the hospital that day. She says she became concerned something wasn't right when TJ appeared to open his eyes and look around as he was being wheeled from intensive care to the operating room. It was like it was his way of letting us know, hey, I'm still here. But Rohrer says she and the other family members were told what they saw was just common reflex. TJ Hoover now lives with Rohrer and she serves as his legal guardian. The general outline of the incident was disclosed in September.
Still alive?
Yes, they never did the thing. The general outline of the incident was disclosed in September by a letter Nicolota Martin wrote to the House Energy and Commerce Committee, which held a hearing investigating organ procurement organizations. She later provided additional details about the case to NPR. Several of us that were employees needed to go to therapy. It took its toll on a lot of people, especially me. So the Kentucky State Attorney General's office wrote in a statement that investigators are reviewing the allegations. The Federal Health Resources and Services Administration, which helps oversee organ procurement, said in a statement that the agency is investigating the allegations and some people involved in the case said that they have answered questions from the Office of the Inspector General of the Federal Department of Health. But Baptist Health Richmond, the Kentucky hospital where the incident allegedly occurred, says the safety of our patients is always our highest priority. We work closely with our patients and their families to ensure our patients' wishes for organ donations are followed. CODA, the organ procurement organization, confirmed that Miller was assigned to the operating room for the case, but the organization says this case has not been accurately represented. No one at CODA has ever been pressured to collect organs from any living patient, according to the statement from Julie Belgin, president and chief operating officer for Network of Hope, which is formed when CODA merged with the Life Center Organ Donor Network. CODA does not recover organs from living patients.
That would be called murder.
Organ procurement system officials, transplant surgeons, and others said that there are strict protocols in place to prevent unsafe organ retrieval. Incidents like this are alarming, and we would want them to be properly reported. And obviously, we want to ensure that individuals are in fact dead when organ donation is proceeding.
It's a little bit misleading. They're technically they're dead, but I mean,
they're kind of kept alive, right?
They were at the state where they're at, whether it's on the breathing machine or the brain's dead or whatever, and before LOPA comes in and does their shit, right? And they have to be an organ donor, ahead of time and all that. There's no fucking way that motherfuckers opening their eyes on the table when this is being done. And I'm calling bullshit on it, calling, it's good and bad in every profession, but you think some fucking doctor, like these doctors walked away or whatever. Let's say it's a freak, one in a billion chance that something happened. This guy's been brain dead for hours and hours and hours, and they do all these tests to make sure you're dead before your hero, giving up your organs so others can live. And not all your organs are going to qualify. But if they take you in there, know that you're alive, and then take your shit from you, it's fucking murder. They're doctors, not murderers.
Right. And so then they don't go into the specifics of other allegations or whatever, but it says some critics of the organ procurement system say they weren't entirely surprised by the allegation.
Yeah, well, fuck them. I've met and have sat with and hunted with and broke bread with people that are alive because of organ donors and their family members who are alive because of these heroes and these organizations that do it. You better believe if there was something nefarious going on, it wasn't a misinterpretation like the boss person saying, well, find another doctor to do it. I mean, fucking when it's called, and that's it. Otherwise, it's murder. They're not making, these are nonprofit organizations. You're not in Tijuana getting your fucking kidneys cut out somebody knocks you out with a roofie drug. So I don't, if this was true, it would be the lead story in the world news. And there are three sides to every story. I'm not saying there wasn't some kind of fuck up and the kid didn't open his eyes and they stopped it. You said he's under a caretaker, and I get that. But no way, no shape, no how anybody in my LOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency, ever fucking wants to not only be a part of something like that, or much less would they do it. Fuck that. Never made me believe it. And be a hero. If you want to be an organ donor, you don't have to be from, give me a country.
Lithuania.
You don't have to be from Lithuania. You don't have to be from Louisiana. You could be from Lithuania, however the fuck you say it. Go to Louisiana. Go to LOPA.org. and fill out the thing, and then they can assist you no matter where you are to become an organ donor and be a hero, give the gift of life, a sight, and all that great shit that they do. They have my shit. I know they're not going to, say I'm dead or play. That's such a fucking fallacy. These people are not Dr. Hannibal Lecter.
No, they're doing good. There's 103,000 people waiting on a list.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
The article does go on to talk about a something that happened in Alabama.
There's botched everything, but they have systems in place. That's why you have rule books and shit. You got a guidelines you have to follow, and even on executions. Yeah. I mean on everything. Fucking clerk at Circle K's got a policy procedure manager. They got to follow.
Yeah,
shit's been happened in their store before. It happens in every single job. Whoever's listening to me now, whatever job you're at, you got a policy and procedure, man, right? And that's because somebody fucked something up. Not because they did it with malintent. Like, this person's trying to say this boss person was like, well, we don't give a fuck. Kill him. Get his organs. That's such a fucking fallacy.
I know.
And if it stops one person from becoming an organ donor and being a hero because it's such a small percent to get used, that fit the criteria, if you will. And I keep seeing this little 18-year-old girl in the ICU underneath the blue light with all the hoses in her and everything else, brain dead as shit. And, Lopa got there, and whatever, and her shit went on. Her organs went on. I think, her heart went to a brain surgeon in California. That's the real deal. That's the Woody Overton. See it in real life multiple times. Not this fallacy of people get confused and they're shock and awe and whatever. Fuck that. And the y'all, anyway, that there, I'm sure there's more of that story. And I know Cindy wouldn't have got it and come from a reputable source, but Sin, as well as I do, shit is sensationalized one way or another, and nothing sells like murder, and that's what that would have been, and that's fucking bullshit. So, that's it, and hate to end it on that, but it is what it is. Hey, thank you to all our sponsors. Thank you to our Patreon. Well, actually, Patreon Convicts aren't on the Daily Show, right?
Mm-mm.
Well, thank you to all our sponsors. Thank you all our listeners and our fans, right?
Yes, for sure.
Love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Tomorrow's episode will be done by Jim Chapman. And then he and I will see you next week, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to get back in the classroom, give me some continuing education.
That's right.
Got to get some knowledge from that college.
Thank you for the people that have given me positive feedback for being on here.
I hadn't heard anything negative. But shit happens and things roll the way that they roll. It's nothing personal or nothing intentional. Life happens, right?
That's
right. Everybody out there gets sad. And don't forget, November 1, #JusticeFor drops, and we need everybody's help. And then we got a lot of changes coming, but explain it the week before November 1. So, all right. Love y'all. Until next time, I'm Yost Woody Overton.
I'm Cindy Overton.
And we'll see you later. Catch you out. Peace.